Okay, here's another thing I wanted to bring to your attention. Now, this is the case of Governor versus State Treasurer. Why don't you describe a little about what this represents? Now, that was 1972. Do you remember this case?
Yes, let me just take a moment.
My guess is that it's pretty well summarized in what is labeled addendum, which is a couple of pages that preceded what you filed as an opinion.
Yes, I'm just kind of reviewing this because I remembered it, but I just some of the details I didn't recall. This was a very unhappy thing. First of all, I didn't think the lawsuit was really an adversarial proceedings. It was, in my opinion, a sweetheart lawsuit. Milliken versus Green. Milliken was the governor. Green was a state treasurer appointed by Milliken. They weren't mad at each other. They weren't fighting with each other over anything, but it was a vehicle whereby the governor could place before the court the question of the constitutionality under federal constitutional standards of the Michigan constitutional scheme for the financing of education. And by the luck of the draw, I was assigned to write the opinion in the case.
Excuse me, before you go on, do you have now a pretty good notion of the behind-the-scenes origin of why Milliken was moved to do this? Who, did somebody have a bayonet in his back, or did he do this for philosophical reasons? This is ordinarily something, well, quite...
No, this is what... Of course, the whole process of state financing of education and definancing of education in the state of Michigan and elsewhere had been a reasonably hot political potato for a long time. There was a case out in California, I believe, called Serrano, in which the California Supreme Court declared that the California educational financing system was unconstitutional under the federal constitution, and so they threw it out and mandated that the legislature enact a different method of financing the schools. That successful effort in the courts, I suppose, emboldened our governor to try here. He had certainly tried for a long time to get the legislature to adopt various changes in the way in which schools are financed. And the school financing formula, that is the formula by which the states would pay money to the school districts, is tinkered with every term, every term of the legislature. It's always designed to try to get the local bodies to tax themselves to a maximum, to reward them for taxing themselves, to equalize the effect of their taxation on education, since in some so-called poor districts, people might pay a high tax and yet generate very little money for the schools because there isn't that much property in the area. So the whole idea of the state formula was always to try to equalize and make up for these variances. I think Milliken started the lawsuit because he was frustrated. He couldn't accomplish things in the legislature, and he felt a quicker and easier and more effective way would be to go to the courts, emboldened, as I say, by success in California and other places. And remember, this was 1972, and it was a time of judicial ascendancy and extreme judicial activism, both at the federal and state level.
There's some people, by the way, who may not remember at this late date that when Milliken became governor in 1968, he did it with a flourish to become the education governor. Do you remember that? He created a commission that met up with Leland and all that sort of thing. There still may have been some aura, now long departed, of that.
Oh, I think you're quite right. I think that he was... Bill Milliken was interested in education, and he made an effort to try to identify himself and his administration with it. In any case, here we had this lawsuit, which at least in form was a controversy between the governor and the state treasurer. In effect, saying to the state treasurer, I don't know what, wanted the court to say to him, thou shalt not pay out money under the current statutes because everything's unconstitutional. The case was assigned to me, and I proceeded to write an opinion which I circulated among the members of the court in July of that year. I received the assignment on June the 6th. The case was argued on June the 6th. My opinion was circulated about a month later, 6 weeks later, July 27th. I held, in my opinion, that the constitutional method of financing schools in Michigan was not unconstitutional under the federal law. That the Michigan Constitution established a method for financing public schools, which was essentially through a system of school districts, each one being autonomous and in some respects and largely responsible for its own financing and given the power to tax ad valorem real property taxes. In December of that year, after nearly 5 months after I had written my opinion, Justice G. Menon Williams circulated what he called a discussion draft, which was, in effect, a proposed opinion holding that the Michigan's method of financing the public schools was unconstitutional under the federal constitution. We didn't have a meeting of the court scheduled between then and the end of the year. Justice Paul Adams was going off of the court. Mary Coleman was coming on. That had all been decided, the election and so on. There was almost no internal procedure with respect to the Williams opinion.